Call to the booth. It's wild card weekend, so you know we got to talk our Saturday games. We also got awards coming up, Call to the Booth Awards. So you know we put our own little spin to it. And we got Chris Long, number two pick in the draft of my draft, 08 draft, the best draft. And we know we got to talk Eagles with him, man. Paul, do what you do. Call to the booth. It's wild card week. Man, what a weekend of football, man. So many playoff implications in these games. Man, that was probably one of the funnest weeks of football I watched as a fan. It was the first time I watched a week 17 as a fan in a while. But that was one of the best weeks of football I seen right there, man. What you think, Harris?
It was a lot of fun. First of all, Happy New Year to you and Happy New Year to everybody who's listening and watching. You know, I enjoyed it, but if you remember, I've kind of hinted towards this throughout the duration of our time here. I'm a Giants fan, so what happened Sunday night was not cool. Like, granted, I still didn't think that they would make it, but then to have it dangle, it's like the carrot's dangling in front of you, and you think you have a chance, and then you don't. But we'll talk about that with Chris Long, as Akib alluded to in our intro. We'll get all into that. But very excited to release Akib's and the Call to the Booth No Fly Zone Awards. Now, usually when you have awards, media outlets give out awards. It's the generic MVP, Coach of the Year, but we know who Akib is. We know what Akib has done in the league. So we're going to focus it towards his expertise. Can't wait to do that, but we might as well get to the more generic of awards before we get to the ones that are more specified for what you know as better as much as anyone else.
MVP?
We'll start with the generic, and we'll roll a little music here. We'll have to do that in post-production.
Little MVP?
And now we'll go to MVP.
Winner of the MVP of the year, no surprise to no one, Aaron Rodgers, man. Crazy season, crazy record. Number one seed, 40 touchdowns himself. So, man, it's just typical Aaron Rodgers, man. Aaron Rodgers fashion. This really stamped his career, I think. This MVP really, Super Bowl or no Super Bowl, I think this MVP really stamped his career.
Now, allow me to give a little kickback and a little case for Josh Allen. It's a team that's the number two seed in the AFC. They've taken over that division. If you look at actually how they play, there is no run game for the most part that you can rely on. Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, you really can't count on. Josh Allen is responsible for a lot of their rushing yards. Whereas Aaron Rodgers has Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. One would argue that Devontae Adams is also a very great talent. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is great as well. And I know Paul, our producer, is very happy about Stephon Diggs' performance this season. Won him a little change. But I think there could be a strong case made for Josh Allen. So my question would be, if Josh Allen did this last year, or in recently, would he have been more deserving of the MVP this year? Or would he have gotten
if you'd
have
did
year?
It, if you'd have,
you know, sometimes it, it's a history thing. You
if
know,
you'd have did it last
thing.
Year, then you had to deal with Patty Mahomes, what he did last year. You know what I'm saying? So you probably still wouldn't have got it. But I say that. I'm one of the guys who talk about like Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. They are the reason for Green Bay run game, man. I mean, you can't put the extra guy in the box because you got to double this guy. And then if you want to leave this guy solo, Aaron Rodgers, he is the X factor. He throw the ball in the perfect spot where if this guy not that open, Aaron Rodgers to throw him open. You know what I'm saying? So they a big part, man. People don't give him enough credit for being part of that run game. But Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams is the Packers run game. So I don't care who you put at running back, man. The style of play you got to play on defense to stop those guys. is going to allow you to run the football. So that's the part that I don't think people are looking at. So, man, that's what makes Aaron Rodgers. He dictates your defense on his arm, on what he could do with his other receivers. Devontae Adams is Devontae Adams on the other side. Therefore, we going to have a run game for sure. So that's my answer to the argument, you know, Harrison.
Fair enough. I still like Josh Allen, but maybe if they would have gotten the number one seed, it would have been even harder decision to make. Before we get to more defensive-related awards, give me your head coach of the year.
Head coach of the year, we're going to go with Stefanski, Kevin Stefanski out of Cleveland, man. Anytime Cleveland do anything, man, in the playoffs for the first time in I don't know how many years, man, he came in first year, he got them guys to believe in what he was preaching. Kevin Stefanski, coach of the year, man. Them guys is in a good position right now. Good situation, man. And they actually could win the playoff game. So he's our winner, coach of the year, man. We praying for him to do his thing virtually this week, man. And hopefully he get Cleveland to win. That'll be huge for him.
Yeah, now, obviously making the playoffs is a great thing for them. But the way they have been able to use the run game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to really set up Baker Mayfield for success with the play-action passes has really been something for them. All right, now let's get into the real fun stuff. We're going to look at – so, Akib, every week we do this no-fly zone. You name your top five teams. But this time around, since we're at the end of the regular season, what I would like for you to do is to name three defensive backs – two guys who cover mainly on the outside, and then maybe one guy who's more focused on the slot, and then three safeties. And then after that, we'll do our pass rushers on both sides, and we'll also award a defensive coordinator and a top defensive player. A whole bunch of defensive-focused awards coming up. So first, let's go with the two DBs that you would like to highlight on this no-fly zone award.
My no-fly zone corners. Of course, it's Xavier Howard, man. You come 10 picks. You following number one receivers around all year. You give up 4 touchdowns, 600 yards, man. That's a great season. On top of that, you come away with 10 interceptions. Xavier Howard, definitely starting corner on my no-fly zone team. My other starting corner, Jalen Ramsey. I'm going to go with Jalen Ramsey, man. Had a great year. Shutting down a lot of people, man. Super, super confident season. And I think his confidence rubbed off on that whole defense. So it was a great season for Jalen as well. And then we're going to slot. My slot corner, I'm going to go J.C. Jackson, man. You play with Bill. You move around a lot. They match up a lot with Gilmore. So I know he got a bunch of slot reps in him, man. He could play just about anywhere. And we're going to be playing man on my no-fly zone team. You got to think. We man coverage. So he can go in the slot and play man. And if we go zone, I got Jalen. Jalen got reps at the slot too, baby. So, J.C. Jackson, Xavier Howard, Jalen Ramsey, man, in my corners for my no-fly zone team.
As we saw all year, the Rams have been one of the top defensive. Jalen Ramsey's addition and great year has definitely helped. Miami's been in the no-fly zone, and they were this close to making it to the playoffs. Powered by their defense. So, of course, Xavier Howard deserves some love. And as we've seen all year, the Patriots have been in that no-fly zone pretty much in and out all year long. All right, so let's go to the safeties. Three safeties for us,
safeties. Please. We're going Minka Fitzpatrick. All kind of plays, man. Touchdowns, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, interceptions, tackles. We're going my dog, the Honey Badger. We got to go Tyrann Mathieu, man. 6 picks. I think he led all safeties this year with 6 picks. And another great leader, man, plays all over the field. And then my third safety, I'm going Justin Simmons, man. Same bunch of tackles. He probably had about 100 tackles this year, 5 interceptions. Balling all season, man. So them my three safeties. We're going Minka Fitzpatrick, Justin Simmons, Tyrann Mathieu for my no-fly zone safeties.
Now, in order for these DBs to play well, and you know this, Akib, you need a pass rush, a guy that can get to the quarterback so you're not checking a guy for longer than you really need to. With that being said, if you can identify an outside rusher and an inside rusher that you would rely on or these guys would rely on this no-fly zone.
Look, low-key, our rushers, they're a small part of the no-fly zone. I remember Von from back in the day, like, man, I'm I'm no fly zone, right, Leap? And I used to be like, yeah, you know Fly Vine, because we need them. You know what I'm saying? We need them. They part of us. So they feel like they part of us. We go hand in hand. So, you know, they always want to be a part, man. So outside rusher, I'm going TJ Watt, of course, man. He 15 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Man, just amazing year, man. Really, really anchored that great defense they had out in Pittsburgh this year. And inside rushers, man, is it even a question? We're going Aaron Donald. He's the most terror. He's the biggest threat inside rushing in football right now. Guys can't block him. 2 guys, 3 guys try to block him. He still gets sacks, 12 plus sacks, 13 sacks or something like that, man. He still gets sacks. He still stopped the run. He's just super disruptive, man, every game, week in, week out. So outside TJ Watt, inside Aaron Donald.
Now, some people who aren't smart enough will say maybe it's a little favoritism here, a little bias because of your time with the Rams. But if you really know football, you know who Aaron Donald is.
I'm telling you, turn on the tape. Just turn on the game and watch him play, man. He going to have more to do with the quarterback than anybody else on the field, man. So even if it's him not getting pressure and another guy's getting pressure, but that other guy one-on-one all day because Aaron Donald is doubled all day. You know what I'm saying? He always got something to do with the pressure, so Aaron Donald for sure deserved to be on that list.
Can you give me your first oh shit moment when you played with Aaron?
Man.
The first time you're like, oh.
I don't know if it was the first one, but I think we was playing the Niners one time. And no, we were playing Seattle. So he always used to beef with Seattle line. Like I ain't never seen Aaron Donald like this. Like, I played with him. I seen him mad and shit. But we played Seattle. He was like a whole nother dude. So, I mean, one time after the game, there's probably some footage of this shit, too, on YouTube and shit. After the game, I think he got a fumble recovery. Somebody got came and hit him late on the sideline. One of the old linemen. AD went incredible Hulk, bro. Hey, I was like, oh, shit. Like, all them muscles really, they really do move people. He was moving people out the way, watch out. Hey, then after the game, he strapped up his helmet. I'm like, that was my old shit. Like, AD was on one that game, bro. I ain't never seen him. It was like a real fight. He was like in a real fight. So I don't know if that was my first one, but that definitely was the moment. I was hurt too, so I ain't even playing the game. So I'm trying to walk. I'm limping like, AD, chill, bro. Chill. I'm trying to grab him. It wasn't nothing. Hey, ain't nothing. So that was my first real.
You never want
to. Oh, shit moment with my dog, AD, man. He was on one. Look at Lee. Look at Lee in the back. Lee in the back. Like, AD, chill, fam. Like, oh, shit. It's over. He was like, that's like the end of it, too. And AD went nuts for a minute right there. So that was my moment. That's after the game right there. Took his pads off. Strapped on the helmet. Like, hey, bro, what's up? Look. I'm telling you. It was crazy, though, man.
Yeah, he was ready to go.
I ain't never seen him like that.
All right. Speaking of which, so we've awarded some players, but you know, a player can be great, but obviously you need a coach that puts you in a position to be great. Who's the defensive coordinator that you want to highlight for your no-fly zone defensive coordinator of the year?
Don't say I'm biased, but hey. I gotta go, Brandon Staley, man. He inherited a pretty good defense. He introduced him to a new scheme. Them guys mastered that scheme, man. He moved Jalen Ramsey around. He had him outside strapping number ones. He had him in the slot when it really wasn't a number one for him to strap. And I think the team overall just bought into what he was preaching. And they did a great job mastering that defense. And they came out the best defense in the league as far as total yards and scoring, man. So that's what you're trying to do. As a defense, we want to be the number one defense as far as yards. We want to be the number one defense as far as points. And on top of that, we want to be up there in turnovers. They had a pretty good year in them turnovers as well, man, like 14 picks or something like that. So they took the ball away. They stopped teams from scoring points, man. That's the name of the game. And it was his first year doing it. So definitely Brandon Staley. We're going to go Brandon Staley, defensive coordinator of the year, baby. Good job.
Yeah, you've been pointing that out all year long about how they when we were first started doing maybe the A-plus matchups, and you alluded to the fact that maybe Jalen Ramsey won't be matching because the type, I think you said it was a cover three match type of scheme where, you know, they let guys catch the ball, but then they tackle them immediately. It was an interesting scheme, and obviously it worked out for them. All right, before we go to our next segment, there is one final award and the biggest of them all. Who is your no-fly zone defensive player of the year?
No-fly zone defensive player of the year, it's a DB. This is like our best DB of the year award. And, of course, that thing go to Xavier Howard, man. He shadowed number one receivers all day. I'm talking DK Metcalf to Tyreek Hills. Everybody, man. If you look at the schedule, whoever that number one receiver was, Xavier Howard, he followed him. He shadowed him. You know what I'm saying? He gave up four touchdowns. I checked his PFF yesterday. PFF give you the real locked in stats, right? You know what I'm saying? He gave up like 47 catches, 600 something yards, four touchdowns. Now, if a regular corner, you don't follow people and you do that and you like a number one corner on a team, that's a solid year. The yards is kind of high, you know what I'm saying? But that's a solid year, man. That's not a bad year. Now, mind you, if you're following around all number one receivers and it's Stephon Diggs, it's Tyreek Hill, it's DK Metcalf, and every team you play, it's a receiver like that who you guarding and you give up those numbers, man, that shit is great. Trust me, I'm telling you. That shit is great. That shit is amazing. He had an amazing year. All kind of highlights, all kind of one-handed interceptions, man. And then you got 10 picks. You get 10 picks, man. That's hard to do, man. Nobody did that since my dog Cromartie. I don't remember what year, but it was when I was playing, before I played or whatever. 10 pick year. Probably was my rookie year or the year before I got in the league, actually. But that's a great season, man. Take my hat off to Xavier Howard, man. Great season, man. He finna hit that stride. He gonna be a big name in this league soon to come. Super big.
I'm only disappointed in the fact that we didn't maybe we're giving out awards. Maybe we should have wore a tux or something like that. Other than that, enjoyed it. I'm sure the guys who get your recognition will enjoy it as well. You know what that also means, though? You might have people on your bumper being like, "Hey, yo, Lee,
what's new?"
I seen these awards.
Hey, what's new, Harrison, man? They always complaining. You know what I'm saying? They want the Dolphins on the this week's no-fly zone list. And hey, you give up 360 yards in the game that you got to win to go to the playoffs, then you don't make the list, baby. But, hey, Xavier Howard, he had a pretty good game. You know what I'm saying? Straight.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back.
Happy New Year from our sponsor over at Manscaped, man. That's the best below-the-waist man's grooming in the world. So look, you want to bring in your New Year with the right tools to get the job done, man.
And the one thing that we do, Akib, around here with our sponsors, we like to try them out. So I know you got the Manscaped entire package. I ain't want to ask you about your private parts, but I'm assuming it's done you
it's
well.
This business, though, Harrison, so it's a little bit different, but I got my pack. I got my pack from Manscaped. I usually, you know, I have my own routine for my grooming. It sucked, but now I got, you know, a real edger. Basically, it's like a haircut. Same thing you use to cut your hair. You can use it in the shower. So now it's sitting in the shower. I might charge it up, put it back in the shower. And I ain't going to lie to you. Look. Hard to reach areas. I even had wifey come help me, baby. Get me right here. You feel me? Wifey can help me on the hard to reach area. It's the best shit that have happened to my household in a long time, Harrison. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love it. Wifey love it, man. Manscaped, man. We love the pack, baby.
I think you're referring to the lawnmower 3.0. It's on point for sure. I've used it. I don't have a wifey over here, but I use it myself. I think I do a good job. Maybe I'll get to that level. The ball toner as well, a very good thing to have as well. And there's even the ball deodorant as well.
Got Akib. The DO too.
Because I've seen how it gets in the gym sometimes. Yeah. Your A1 plus D1 gym. Especially
get smoky over here sometimes.
I did see a video clip of maybe you getting smoked by one of your guys you were training. I did see that.
I won't call it
smoke.
I won't call it smoke, but you know what I'm saying? But he did have a nice release off the line, man. You know what I'm saying? And he a young man, finna go to college and stuff like that. So look, I'ma encourage, when I send all my young boys packages, I'm sending the Manscaped packages. I just sent my nephew back with half of my pack just so he can have some deodorant. I couldn't give him my mower. I told him I'd order him his own mower. But I'm telling you, man, all in all, if you keep your stuff groomed, you probably need the deodorant less. You know what I'm saying? It'd be the stanky hairs that would got you stanky down there. You remove them stanky hairs, you'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? So a great package, man. The toner, deodorant, man, the mower.
The crop
and they even
reviver.
Give you a nose trimmer. They even give you a nose trimmer, man, for the guys who got hairs hanging out their noses, man. Hey. Manscaped, I love it. I love it, Harrison.
So you guys heard the man. Go ahead and get your package now. Head on to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code NoFlyZone. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Just use our code NoFlyZone.
2021 is a new year, new balls. Call to the booth. We back with my dog, man, my draft mate, Chris Long. You know, y'all know Chris Long, man, Super Bowl champion, famous dad. That's what I out of everything you did, Chris, I still be like, damn.
I was born.
Hey, damn. Howie Long is daddy. Look, I still be like, Howie Long is fucking daddy, bro. Shit, that shit crazy. That's the craziest part of your whole life to me.
I know. Well, it is crazy because you look around the league, and I always say this, like, how many second generations? There's not a lot of second generations.
Exactly.
It's something we're definitely proud of to have played. You know, both of us and my brother as well. So, you know, you just That's don't hard. See a lot of it. I mean, like Joey and Nick being brothers and making it to league yeah. and being how they are, like
right.
You just
the Matthews. You got the Matthews, man. You yeah. got them boys
the
boys from Buffalo.
The Kelseys.
There's some guys out there. It's definitely some generational guys. The McCourties. You know what I'm saying? They on the same fucking
yeah.
team. Doing
well,
it.
They're the same guy. They're the same person.
Yeah, they like the same person and shit.
And they play that shit up. They play that shit up. Like, I'm over it now, Dev. You're a twin. You and Jason are twins. We get it. Like, bro, like yeah. I don't need to see like everything. The podcast is themed twins. Like, separate. Do something.
Right.
You know,
right.
you got to be on the same
team. Share social medias and shit.
That's the lamest shit, dude. I tell them all the time. Though. I love them. I love them.
But look, I know we're supposed to start somewhere else, Harrison, but fuck that. how was that upbringing, man?
Yeah.
How was that upbringing? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I got me and my brother.
Yeah.
He got three boys. I got two boys, right?
Yeah.
And they the truth. Like, one of them is a freshman. My brother, oldest son, he a freshman. He wears size 15 shoe. His hand's bigger than mine. He 14, finna be 15 years old, bro. So I'm like, he 5'11", 200 pounds right now.
Yeah.
Not a no fat on him. So I'm like, bro, we got a serious chance. You know what I'm saying? We want to be like the Longs.
We got a chance.
We want to be like the Longs, the Matthews, the McCourties. We trying to send these boys, right? So how was your upbringing, man? We yeah. trying to make sure we doing the right shit.
Man, listen, you know, one thing that my dad did, and I think it was because he played – you know, old CBA football in the 80s, you know, right. surgeries, the lying, not that any of that shit's changed. They just have more practice and they worked harder than us because they had two-a-days all year long and all that stuff. It was really rough back then. And so he played 13 years in a really rough system. We didn't really play the same position. Like, I was an edge rusher and he played all and up and down the line in a 3-4. So, you know, there's like a big difference, you know,
right.
like my dad played schematically. When somebody asked me about my dad, who they would compare him to, everybody likes to do JJ Watt. They're not the same guy. Like, they're different. Right. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but I'm just saying, like, they're different. My dad would get down to three and play vertical. Like, my dad's better comparison, honestly, was Aaron Donald. Now, Aaron Donald's going to be the best of all time at what he does, in my opinion.
Right.
But same type of player. Undersized, quick, shoot the gaps. Like, that was my dad. So, my dad just, like, didn't really want me to play football. Like, he didn't not want me to play football, but he was just not going to, like, nudge me to play football. His thing was always – whatever you do, do it 100 miles an hour. So work ethic was the non-negotiable in my household. And it was like old school dad, you know, the whole nine yards. But there was a time when I was 13 and I was getting ready to go, or 10 or 12 or whatever it was. The first time I was going out to football practice, and my parents didn't want me to play really because of the whole thing I just told you about.
Right.
And my mom and my dad tell me a story about when they were sitting up in the room the night before and they go, what do we do? Do we tell him he can't go? They were like, no. Don't tell him he can't go, because if you tell a kid he can't do something, that's all he's going to want to do. What we're going to do, because we think our kid's soft, is we're going to send him out to practice and he's going to get his nose bloody. He's never going to want to come, you know, come back to practice.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that I wasn't very good, but I love that shit. And, yes. And I just, it just never, the bug never went away, but keep, I mean, like I never, it wasn't something I dreamed about playing the NFL always. Like I wanted to do it to the best of my ability, but I kept my focus right in front of me. You know, I never had like that big dream. I had small dreams, like a series of small dreams. And I think that was just the way my dad kind of instilled in us, was hard work, one thing at a time. And it worked out, but there's a lot of pressure too. You know, like by the time I got to the league, the pressure of being a top five pick was like, yeah, it was heavy, but it wasn't like going to your high school game and everybody looking at you and chanting your dad's name and shit. Like I've been through it. Like any accomplishment you achieve, it's not you, it was your dad. It's not you. Hey, well, listen,
he a part of it. He definitely
right,
a part of
right.
it.
Right. Like, so I get a scholarship. It's not you, it's your dad. I go 14 sacks in the ACC my senior year. It's not you, your dad. You get drafted high. It's not you. Your dad. I get broke off going 13 sacks, you know, in a year, 40 in 4 years. Not you. It's your dad. So fuck, like it just gives you thick skin, bro. Like I've just I've heard it all.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Cause like I say, my nephews and my son's 7, but you asking right now, fat, what you doing when you get old? You like going to the NFL, bro? Like
he's asking me that. He's got better than
he. He there already. You feel me? He like mentally, he there already. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I do the same thing. I tell him, look, if that's what you want to work for free for 15 years and then get paid, that's what you want to do. That's what the NFL is.
Yep. You're
going to feel like you got a job for 15 years and then you're going to finally get paid for it. That's what you want? He like, yep. All right, bet. Let's get to it.
Yo, yo, this Keenan Allen. You know how to make that call to the booth from my guy, Key to Lee.
All right, Harrison, what's up, man? Let's talk some real NFL, some football. We'll talk
a brief NFL for a minute. Real quick, and I think you alluded to this. You guys were talking about the heavy is the head that wears the crown. What is your perspective on the situation with Carson Wentz? If you can get to that real quick before we go
absolutely.
To the games.
I think it's going to be real hard to rectify the situation in Philly. I think, you know, like anybody who knows ball has seen him at this level, right? 2017, right. I've always said this, you know, we win the Super Bowl with Nick, without Nick, with Carson. It's almost unfair to those quarterbacks. Our team was just so special from a chemistry, leadership, dog. Like, we were all dogs, bro, and we were hungry. And, you know, like, when you're on a Super Bowl team, you just feel it. That was the type of team we had. Now, Carson was great that year. The problem was Carson tears his ACL. Mark Barron caught him going to the end zone in LA, and next thing you know, he's chasing the injury bug. I mean, he's got the back from rehab and that sort of thing, so he just wasn't very good in 18 19. The team was terrible. Like the guys he was throwing to shadow program picture guys, like dudes without the pictures on Madden. That's who he's throwing it to. No disrespect to those guys, because they get paid too, but 19, I thought he exceeded expectations considering everything. 20, he is not. He has been bad, objectively, very bad, 2020. Now, here's what I think. The Eagles have failed him on a level, but Carson, at the end of the day, when people are open, has to hit those people, and he has to eliminate the turnovers. Those two things can be true at the same time. Now, by the time you make the quarterback change, you go to Jalen Hurts, who showed some promise, but also in second half of games has been adjusted to and that sort of thing. You've kind of made your decision now. It's going to be hard in that city. It's going to be hard with the head coach coming back for a lot of reasons, because of the promise Jalen showed, because of the way the city's so divided on Carson, and because Carson's probably like, and some people might disagree with me, and a lot of talking heads are like, he's being a little bitch about it, but they don't remember that they took shit personal too. And so Carson took it personal. Carson might not want to play for him anymore. But the problem is his contract's so fucked up that you're going to have a hard time moving. It's not because Indy or San Francisco can't absorb his contract. It's because of the dead cap money that Eagles are going to have to eat. And so for a number of reasons, they're between a rock and a hard place, right? So I think what's going to be interesting is what they do at that position. If it's me, what I wish would happen is I wish they'd give Carson a fresh start somewhere else. Because I think he's still got something in him where he may not be the 17 guy every year, but quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And guys who have shown that, Frank Reich was a big part of his success. Maybe you reunite him with him, but the Philly experiment, unfortunately, has just kind of run its course. And now you really got to hope Jalen Hurts can ball, right? If you're Philly, because you've made your decision in a sense.
Yeah, I think it's about done, man. I feel like I've been in that position, man, with like just Denver. You know, one of our leaders, you know what I'm saying? One of our best players, our pro bowler, our all pro, one of our media guys. If somebody's speaking on behalf of the team, it's going to be me. But at one point, shit, it was just like, man, I just got to go, bro. It's burnt out. I done charged him up. I done argue with him. It's just like, man, it ain't even the same here no more. You know what I'm saying? And like, you can't rewind that stuff, man. So
it's another thing that's funny though, because Denver wasn't like as dysfunctional, and like you still went on to be great, like where you continue to play because of, you know, your football mind into your late stage of your career, because you always had the mind, even when the body's like going a little bit. Like Carson's coming back from, in my opinion, injuries and an organizational failure and his own mistakes, right? So I've been there with the injuries. Like in St. Louis, I'm a captain. I'm one of the best DNs in the league. Like my numbers, I put them up against anybody for a 4 or 5 year period.
Hell yeah.
But then I get hurt for 2 years, and it's like, that's how quick. What have you done
shit
for
changed.
Me lately?
Yeah, shit changes. Just changed.
Bro, I was cut within 2 years. So I actually texted Carson this like this year, and you know, like, yes, my job talking to media is tough. You and me have talked about this, how hard it is to criticize your friends. Carson's played bad. Do I dislike Carson? No, I really like Carson. I think Carson's a good dude. I think he gets a bad rap from like a personal standpoint because a couple weak, like unnamed sources a couple years ago who were mad about whatever went and bitched about Carson. Most people tell you he might not be Tom Brady with the fieriness, but Carson's a good dude. I texted him earlier this year. I said, you know, I'm sorry the year is not going well, man. Like, just keep walking, man. All you can do is keep walking as a player when you're going through that rough period, because if I had given up in St. Louis, because I really thought about saying fuck it and like retiring the second time I got IR'd.
Right.
I never win a Super Bowl. You never know how close you are to getting back up off the mat and having the success you have. So I would hope that Carson is mentally strong enough to weather this storm and come out the other side. Because I really think, you know, he can get back to playing respectable quarterback.
Hell yeah, I do too. Like you said, 17, he was one of my favorite guys, man. I thought he was definitely next. I'm like, man, I was at the point where I'm like, Carson next. He the next.
Me too.
In our league. So then them injuries came, like you said, man. So.
When LeBron's saying you're his favorite player, like that's a fucking good sign, right?
That's huge.
And he had that in 17. Like LeBron's talking about. So it's not like this guy has been a bum his entire career. He's had really bad year. He had a good year last year, considering, and he's been hurt. So yeah, I'm rooting for him.
Chris, you alluded to the fact that you were rooting for Alex Smith. While we have you here, before we get out of here, let's go through the Saturday playoff games. Keeb, if you could just respond. So I'm gonna set the line too. Bucks are 7.5-point favorites at Washington football team, over under at 46.5. What you think?
I actually like the Washington football team to cover if that half, if you can get that half, if it gets down to like 6.5. I'm not sure. I think this is one of the things where Tom's watching, and I thought this was so interesting. Imagine Tom Brady's family rooting for the Eagles, right? Well, I think that's what was happening Sunday night, because he doesn't want to get hit by those guys in Washington. Tom's a different guy when he gets hit, just like any quarterback. So I think they win, but I think it's a bit of a dogfight.
Definitely. I agree. If you're going to tame Tom anyway, it got to be the D-line who going to tame him. They got to get on his ass.
Yeah.
I seen y'all do it, you know what I'm saying, and win a chip. I seen us do it, put him out the playoffs, and the games that you see Tom rattled a little bit, it's definitely because the D-line, not blitzing really, it's a couple blitzes, but it got to be a four-man rush, because he'll tear your ass up if you don't got a four-man rush. He's just too smart against man coverage. He's too smart against zone coverage. Shit like that.
He is too smart, and it's amazing some people don't think about it. Like in our Super Bowl, we just rushed four the whole time, and at certain parts they were picking us apart, but what they had to do the entire game was protect with seven and chip out. So that changes the way they do things, and then at the end of the game when they had to protect, they couldn't do it. So yeah, that's the way.
It's got to be them four. So I, like you said, I agree. I think it'll be a dog fight. I think it'll be a little bit closer than everybody think it is, but I definitely like Tom. I think Tom them going to cover, though. I think they'll cover 7.5. They'll win by, like, 10. It'll be a 31-21, where it was 31-20, whatever, 26. What's the math? 25 or, yeah. or 24. Yeah. 21 to 24 for a minute, and then the Bucks score that last late touchdown. Late and then they, yeah, late cover. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at something like that.
I like the over, too, though.
Definitely like the over.
One of the most unfortunate things that we're seeing with this whole season that we're going to see it this weekend, players and players not being able to play, potentially because of COVID, or coaches not being able to coach, oof, like Kevin Stefanski for the Cleveland Browns. But I do want to talk about a player that might not be able to play, but this because of injury. Jared Goff and the LA Rams are plus 4.5 at the Seattle Seahawks.
Give me the Hawks.
Over under at 43. Obviously, we don't know what's happening with Goff.
Give me the Hawks. Hey,
give me the Hawks and the under. Okay. Yeah. Listen. And I got some buddies on the Rams. You know, I know Akib loves that secondary a lot. Man, I see him a lot on his no-fly zone rankings, and they should be, man. They are just ballers. But it's a defense that's kind of wasted right now, right? And I don't know what happens with Jared Goff and his thumb. At least the Wolford kid gives him something on the ground. But Seattle, quiet as kept, has kind of turned into a defensive football team here towards the end of the year. So I think this is going to be a low-scoring ball game. Give me the Seahawks covering. Maybe maybe 21-14 or something like that. I mean,
I don't like Wall Street Wolf. I don't like the Wall Street Wolf scoring that many points, man. Like you said, I like them to get two touchdowns, maybe a field goal, 17. Get a Rams about 17, man. And I don't know. I like Seattle to come out and play some ball, man. They're gonna come out and play some ball. They're gonna cover. It's just hard. It's a quarterback driven league. That shit ain't changed. It's hard to win without your ace.
It is.
It's hard to win without your ace. The vibe is different when your ace not there. I don't give a fuck who the backup is. Our ace not there. The defense thinking right now, man, we got to win this shit on D.
Defense plays right better. Now. The defense plays better when they know it's a Wolford. That's the thing about, like, the Steelers defense last year. They were so constricting because they were like, we got to clean up for this shit on offense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like teams that all of a sudden have the comfort of complimentary football chill out a little bit.
Yeah, they do. So I'm taking the Hawks, too. Give me the Hawks and the under as well, man.
Cool.
Big game in Buffalo where they'll actually be allowing fans. Josh Allen, who Akib does not agree with my MVP pick for this year.
Strong second. He's a strong second.
He is a strong second.
Colts plus seven. Oh, Colts are, yeah, plus seven at the Bills, over under at 52. What you got?
So I like the over, and I think the Colts run the football and keep it relatively close, but give me the Bills by about four, so the Colts cover. That's the big key. If they can get Jonathan Taylor going, they can kind of stay in this football game. I don't think playing keep away works on Kansas City. I actually think with Kansas City, you just got to score with those motherfuckers. With the Bills, I think you can control the clock a little bit, and the Bills are playing the best football in the league right now, 10 in a row without the Hail Mary. But the Colts are quiet. You know, quietly a really formidable team.
Yeah, Colts got a pretty good defense, man. They don't get talked about a lot, but they solid. You know, I was watching all this defense this year. Colts was one of my favorites, man. They always played great early. They gave up a lot of points late. So I'll take the Bills, man. I'm going to take the Bills in the over. I think both teams could score some points.
Whatever you do, take the over.
Definitely got to take the over, and I take the Bills. And I like the Bills to cover, man. I like the Bills to cover and the over.
Perfect.
And lastly, before you guys go, you've never had a situation before where you've lost a head coach to COVID in a playoff game. Have you guys even played a game without your actual head coach performing in his normal duties before? How was that experience? And how? What do you think the Browns are going to be going through on game day?
Well, Coop got sick one time. I think Coop, during the season, I think after we won the chip, the next season, Coop got sick. He had the little heart attack or whatever, man. Remember, he was gone for a hot minute. So I think it kind of rallied us, but at the same time, we didn't win. We wasn't a very good team without him. You know what I'm saying? So we try to rally ourselves, but they pay somebody to rally these troops. If that guy not there, yeah, man, the person who paid to do the job ain't there. You feel me? So it ain't rally us. I think we lost. I don't know what our record was, but I know the year after we won the Super Bowl, we wasn't a very good football team, man. So it ain't work for us.
I wonder how much that moves the line, because it scares me a little bit, because Kevin Stefanski to me is right there with B-Flo for Coach of the Year. I got to give it to my guy, B-Flo. But But Kevin's and continuing to do the right things in Miami by firing Chan Gailey, it's not really a fire with a capital F. It's just more like, hey, this isn't going to work for Tua. We really appreciate you. Like, if it was a Fitzy right. team, you're here. That's why you're here. But Kevin Stefanski, what he's been able to bring to not just the team, but to Baker, I mean, just with the way he's kind of unlocked the key with that group, scares me, him being off the field. It really exactly, does. Man. And I got the Steelers before the season, so I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon, because if I do this, then I don't get to claim victory if they win. I had the Steelers beating the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. So, listen, I'm pulling for – it's hard because I'd love to see the Browns win, but I'd like to be right. I think I am going to be right because the Steelers, they kicked the shit out of them earlier in the year, and then they hung with them Sunday. It was almost like, hey, just so you with know, no, we see you in nobody, a week. Right? We see right. you in a week with T.J. Watt and Big Ben and these guys we sat. So I think the Steelers win.
Same. I say the same, man. It's hard to go to war without your leader, man.
Yeah.
Stefanski, that's their leader. They're going to be at war without him. I think they're going – early, they're going to rally. They're going to play good. But, man, all in all, Mike Tomlin, Big Ben, I mean, it's going to be too much.
Too much.
I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh to win.
Yes, and sir, I think this is the end of the show as well. That's your Saturday previews. We're going to come back with Sunday previews in our show for Thursday. Akib, I guess you want to say goodbye to not just Chris, but
Chris.
All of our audience.
Chris, you already know. I appreciate it, my boy.
Yeah, likewise,
I love the pod. Love what you got going on, man. Anytime you need leave on there, hit me, baby. I love to talk. You
thanks.
Feel me?
Hey, you and me too. We've been doing it we've been doing it in locker rooms for years. So now we get to do it for fucking living. So
we get to do it for a DraftKings bag, baby. You know what I'm saying? Manscaped, all of the above. So hey, I appreciate it, man.
Good seeing you,
go do
bro.
Your thing, man. Take care.